Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Every Town podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again, and Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. We give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Every Town podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
Say, today's episode
is... Today's episode is brought to you by...
Lynn A.
Lynn A.
Derek B.
Derek B.
Jackson W.
Jackson W.
Sagan M.
Sagan M.
Keek K.
Keek K.
A.K.A. Andrew G.
K.K. Ooh. A.A. Ooh.
And Wes J.
And Wes J. Thank you guys so much.
Everybody, and welcome to The Horror Show, a show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite horror movies and other horror related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
Oh, back again. Back at it.
Yeah.
Another day, another dollar. Hopefully at this point. We're back. We're back. More Patreon picks this week.
Yeah, another good one.
to be fair, that's the funniest part about it. And like, honestly, this one, so what we're doing today is Texas Chainsaw 3D, brought to you by Joshua B from Patreon. Thank you, Joshua, we really appreciate it. He donated on patreon.com/ihatehorror, and if you do that, send us three movies and we'll pick one to do on the show. And we do it that way because we hate ourselves and we will always choose trash.
Yes.
And I think people think it's funny that we do it. Like, I think people think that we're like openly like, let's pick a really bad movie. But like, we got Josh's list. He had like, we talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago. It had like Ills on it. Yep. It had a couple other ones.
Great movie.
And we saw Texas Chainsaw 3D and we're both like, yup. like not even like as a joke. We're both like, yeah. That's got to be interesting.
Yeah.
Why are we so stupid? Why are we so fucking stupid? Like, a Google search would have turned up like, do not watch this film. You are wasting your time. This is unbelievable.
Very recent, movie. Too.
2013, yeah. January 4th, 2013.
This is bad.
This is, I would go despicable.
Yeah.
My concern about this and every Texas Chainsaw movie since Texas Chainsaw Massacre is you have such a fantastic foundation, such a wonderful template from the first film to go off of. How do you fuck it up? they told you how to do it and how to do it right, the first one. And I know you're not going to recapture all of that again. But just follow a formula. Make it gritty. Make it... Okay, so we knocked Gunnar Hansen a little bit. I mean, I don't think we knocked him. We were just picking at him when we did our Tobe Hooper special, because we discovered that he went to a home for the mentally challenged and was just imitating them in the courtyard,
yes.
Like watching them and imitating them for the purpose of being Leatherface. Maybe he was right, though. Like, maybe he had the right idea. Like, maybe he's the only actor that actually gave a fuck about Leatherface. Because all these actors that play Leatherface are fucking trash.
Well, they're not actors. They're just big guys that just bumble around.
Ah, man. It's just... It's really bad. You have this awesome template, and they just shit all over it.
This one's especially disheartening.
Because... Yeah.
It's supposed to be a direct sequel to the 1974.
So, which, by the way, there are parts of this movie where I think the concept is cool.
Okay.
Like the bones. Like, I'm not, like, literally, you have to shed everything from it and say it out loud. Like, like pick up where the first one leaves off, because that's one of my biggest questions after I watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre every time. It's like, I want to know, the police save Marilyn Burns.
Yep.
They save her, but then what happens? Like, Marilyn Burns knows where they are, you know? Like, the truck driver knows where he stopped and found her. Or the, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the two truck drivers. There's a fucking corpse in the road. A semi-truck hits the brother.
Yes.
So, there's all this stuff. So, it's like, the cops are going to find him. But what happens after that? So, it's a really great... I like that. I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
But what this does
pull
is...
It off. Terribly.
What this does is a fucking nightmare.
It's an abomination.
It's truly abomination. And I don't, as you know, I'm a big fan of sequels and remakes. I don't care. Do whatever. But this is just bullshit. This is just such a hack job. It's unreal.
And it's frustrating too, because, you know, last week's movie was such a mess. This, like, it shouldn't be this bad. Like, it has legit actors. It has a big budget. The kills were fine. Like, they pulled kills off the special fine. Effects. Why is it so shitty?
It just
sucks. I don't understand.
It just sucks. It's just like... Because the whole time you're thinking about the first movie, you're like, what the fuck? What am I watching right now? By the way, the acting in this is really bad also.
Alexandria Daddario is terrible in this movie.
Yep. The sheriff is awful.
Scott Eastwood...
Scott Eastwood, who I like, is not good in this.
No. Nobody is. Trey Songz.
Yeah, I don't know why we're listing people. Yes. It's literally everybody. Yeah. Everyone fucking sucks in this. Oh, boy. So, Texas Chainsaw 3D. It was originally NC-17.
Hmm. Sure.
Can't imagine how. I mean, it's brutal, but it ain't that brutal.
It's not brutal.
It's not. They just didn't want it released in theaters.
Yeah, pretty much.
They were like, you're not going to make it. Oh, you cut it down? Damn it. All right. $20 million budget. Don't know where that money went. And $47 million box office.
I mean, it looks nice.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, cinematography, I guess.
On its opening night, it took first place, earning $10 million. And the film ultimately took...
Did you say what month?
No.
I was curious.
Oh, no. I didn't see the month.
As to what month this would fucking reign supreme.
Oh, January.
Of course. Okay.
Yeah.
Dumb month.
And then here's an interesting one. Even though it doesn't compare to the original and was rated poorly, it became one of the highest grossing of the franchise to date.
Well, that's a
bummer. That's a bummer, because that means they'll just make shittier ones. They'll just keep making shitty ones. And they're making a new one called
Leatherface. It's crazy,
like,
that this isn't a sequel to the already remade one.
That's what a lot of people were saying. They were like, why didn't they use that as their...
Because you like that one, right?
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah. I don't, but compared to this, I'll watch it all day.
Oh, wait, oh dude, like 100%. I mean, it's fine. But yeah, a lot of people said that. They were like, why wouldn't they just use...
The most recent one in people's minds.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole generation of people that
especially
only know
because
that
the people that are going to like this are going to be super offended when you link it to the original.
Yeah.
They're not going to be thrilled about that. Oh, but let's get into this one, because it's a long one. It's a lot of fun. So, longest opening scene ever, which happens a lot to us. And usually a bad sign. And it's basically the entire movie of the original film.
Yes.
It's clips from the original.
Yes.
And it's the whole story, beginning to end.
It's like 10 straight minutes.
Yes. And the movie picks off, it picks up exactly where the last flick left off, which I was cool with. We just see these cops flying down. They arrive at the Sawyer house. And you see them. What's cool about this beginning is, like, you see the things. Like, they're passing the truck. They're passing the semi-truck with the body on the ground.
Yep.
That's all the cool stuff. You're like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, I remember that. But they do that throughout the movie. And it just pisses you off. Because now it jumps to another time frame. It jumps to 17 years later. And they're still doing, like, they pass a dead armadillo. And you're like, we get it. We know what we're watching. You don't have to fucking show it again. It's fucking dumb. really pisses me off. And they get to the Sawyer house, and there's a standoff between the cops
and the
entire Sawyer clan. And
Bill Moseley reunited.
That's who it is, right?
Yes.
That's who it was. And I think...
But he's not...
I just put on a song by accident.
He's not Chop Top, though.
No, he's not. He's like one of the Sawyer bros.
Yeah.
And I think Gunnar Hansen was one of the guys in the house.
Oh, really?
I think so. And I don't know if you picked this up. Marilyn Burns in this one.
Yep.
She's Grammy.
Yep.
Graham, who we'll be introduced to a little later. But standoff between the cops and the Sawyer clan. Cops are saying, send the boy out. Again, really cool. I like this. It's interesting.
Well,
even though it's a ripoff of Devil's Rejects.
And Leatherface mask is abysmal.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad.
It sucks.
It's terrible, yeah.
It's an insult.
And it's a total ripoff of Devil's Rejects. Like, I felt like that was almost scene for scene the beginning of Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're holed up in the house. The Sawyers have their guns. It was so weird.
Yeah. And it has Bill Moseley.
And I think that's when I was like, really like, wait a minute. I'm watching Devil's Rejects. Oh, no, I wish I was. Movie's about a million times better. Yeah, and while there's basically this standoff, and while they're waiting to get Leatherface, a gang of hillbilly assholes show up to get Leatherface, and they're saying some pretty nasty things. Like, really bad things. about his mental...
Capacities.
Yeah. And the cop's pissed. But, like, honestly, would you be that pissed? First of all.
Probably.
First of all. The cop is a black guy. These hillbilly guys had to have given him a hard time, too. I'd be like, fuck you, guy. Oh, wait, that is what he does.
Yes, you're proving his point. He is pissed.
Oh, yeah. How did I get that turned around? I don't know what I did there. Well, good for him. Because these guys are assholes. but at the same time, if you weren't in that situation, I don't know, man. That family's not a very good family.
Right, but then you're just going to have a fucking wild mob on your hands causing chaos.
Well, they just want to kill the Sawyers.
You saw how it happened to Freddy.
How come? I guess that's true. You don't want some guy invading your dreams, calling you bitch all the time. how come there were so many Sawyers in that house?
So
that was actually one of my issues with it, because
we're inside the house in the first movie. You see the entire family.
There's a dinner scene.
Yeah.
And there's four or five of them max.
Was Grandpa in this?
No. Of course not.
In the beginning scene.
No.
Okay.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, why would it make sense? Why would they do anything? Use their source material for anything?
Just him dropping a hammer.
Besides just shit on them. All they did was take the source material and just shit all over it.
They did.
Take a giant
wipe
crap
their
on
ass
it
with the script.
Because literally the house is just filled with these random fucking people that we never saw before. Not a single one recognizable from the original. It's frustrating at best.
And like we're still on the opening scene. It's like you said they drove past the truck, so it's like minutes after the events.
Which also makes no sense because, well, I mean, the timeline is
also that would be 1974. So how would the mob know that this is like? There couldn't have been a quick way to get all that information.
No, I mean, except that they. I mean, I guess they know Leatherface's history, but
how would the mob know that they were there?
Yeah,
I guess. Why wouldn't they just do that before? If they knew.
See, this is where the timeline's fucked up because, so you know, we hear it was August 18th is when the first movie takes place. The events of August 18th, 1973. Yeah. And then what we find out is that this is the following day. It's August 19th, and we'll find that out later. I don't know. I feel like more than a day goes by in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original. Maybe not. I mean, I feel like there's scenes.
Wait, there's night scenes.
There's night scenes, right?
Right.
So, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, they could have been. You could say that maybe they met. It makes no sense. But what makes what really confuses it is the drive-by of the truck that's still sitting there.
Yes.
Because it really should be the next day. By the time they bring in Marilyn and talk to her and find anything out,
it'd be the next day.
Because it was
1974, middle of nowhere, Texas.
Right.
So they're not going to clean up that truck or anything.
Just going to leave it. The trucker's just going to be like,
Well, I would.
I don't want to get paid.
You think that guy's going back to work? I guess not making any deliveries.
1974 in Texas.
He's going home.
Oh, man. This fucking movie. Well, regardless, the timeline's fucked, and it gets even more fucked in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
What happens? They burn down the house.
Throw Molotov Molotov cocktails through the house.
Yep, and then they're just shooting wildly. We see a woman with a baby who's like dodging bullets. And I mean, what the fuck am I watching right now?
Leatherface's entire family dies.
Leatherface all burned alive. And then we see a guy walking through a shed. He's just investigating, and he finds the woman with the baby. And she's basically pleading, and he just takes the baby and kicks her in the face and kills her
with a boot. Yep.
That was fucking tough to watch. Then he just goes up to his girlfriend and is like, "We have a baby." And then they put the baby in the car and then go like go to the fair.
Yeah.
It was so fucking bizarre.
Stupid.
So fucking stupid. But they have a baby. I wonder what's going to happen there. Everything in this was, by the way, the most predictable shit of all time.
It was so contrived. It was so cliche.
Wasn't it? Like they never dropped a hint that was just a fucking hint. It was like, "Wow, look at this birthmark. Look at your crazy birthmark. I love your crazy birthmark." You're like, "All right. They're going to use this to figure out she's a Sawyer somehow." And sure enough.
Yeah,
that's exactly what fucking happens. And like it was always like that. Like there was never a scene that wasn't like wink, wink.
They should have made it like at least reveal it at the end. But you know that she's a Sawyer right off the fucking bat. And what do you think is going to happen?
Of course, it was fucking dumb. So we jump from the day after or whatever it was to. Present time.
Well,
oh wait. I forgot. You wouldn't assume this was present time.
Well, they have smartphones, though.
But the way they dress, by their phones, by the music that's played, by the cars you see, by literally everything.
Everything.
Everything in this is modern.
But the Dario's character is the baby from the beginning, and that would mean she would be 40 something years old.
Right. Yeah. I forgot even about that. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. But we find out it's only been 17 years, I believe you said it was.
Yeah.
And Joe confirmed this through various research methods, which is insane. Literally makes no sense because I'm like watching this. I'm like, fucking Leatherface would be like 60.
Make no mistake. It takes place in modern day.
Yeah.
But it's not supposed to.
It's insane. It's insane. And we meet our first two insufferable characters. One is Heather, is her name? Yes. Yep. Heather, who's our main character, and her dumb friend, who I don't think I ever caught her name. And her friend is banging her boyfriend's friend.
Yeah.
This is getting convoluted, but you need to know her for like one scene. So just remember her. And they're discussing this road trip that they're doing with going to New Orleans with
Nikki.
That's the friend's name?
Maybe.
God bless you. They're discussing New Orleans road trip. I guess their boyfriends are in a band, or one of them is. It's not really sure. We have no idea why they're going to New Orleans, though. So, really. Do we?
Wait. I thought they were going on a trip because she got the letter that her grandmother died.
They were going on a trip prior to that to New Orleans.
I didn't pay attention?
No, because it doesn't make sense. Okay. And they don't explain why or anything. So they're going to New Orleans. Like I said, there's a sex scene where the boyfriend finds the
birthmark,
and they really make sure to make sure you're not surprised later in the movie. But then she also gets a note from her from the mailman. Of course, what am I talking about? She gets a letter.
She gets a note from the mailman. Telegram.
Hello. Your grandma's dead. You're a Sawyer. She gets a note from. She gets a note. Why am I saying note? She gets a letter. It says her grandma's dead. It also reveals who she is, because her boyfriend's like, your grandma's already dead, isn't she?
Yeah, all your grandparents are dead.
By the way, why is no one ever surprised in this movie? Everyone just says things with straight faces.
Because they can't act.
Oh, okay. So she goes to her terrible family and is like, why didn't you tell me this? And the dad's like, basically like, I fucking hate your guts.
These it's pretty close, right? Need to be in a Rob Zombie film.
Yeah.
It's like a classic Rob Zombie scene that contributes nothing to the movie. And she's like, fuck you, just you dumb bitch.
He does always have
that. There's a scene like Halloween.
Drunk, maybe incestual parent. Right? Always a drunk incestual
dad. Doesn't push the story along at all.
No, it's just like, you stupid whore. I wish you were never born. Yeah, that guy says that. Like, I wish I never took you home. What a real piece of shit.
Wait. But she didn't know that she was adopted until that point, right?
Right.
That's such a quick change of events.
You
adapted me?
Yeah, and I wish I never did, you bitch. And like, what? Yeah, it's so quick. And also, this has clearly been a sentiment he's felt for a while. How can he hold that in, being that angry all the time, and still pretending he's a real dad?
She approached them like loving parents, like they're supportive. And then, like, as soon as she found out, just a switch went off.
It was so weird. And she's like, so this is how she finds out she's a Sawyer. It's outrageous. And they tell her, you know, if you go down to Texas, you'll be bringing trouble. And she says, fuck you.
Yeah.
And walks away. Yeah. So we're going down to Texas. Oh, wait, but not before a scene with her boyfriend where she walks in and he's like, oh, baby, how you doing? She's like, it was terrible. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then she just goes, I was adopted. And he's like, well. Like, that is like huge news. That is huge fucking news. And they both say it so casually. Even I put more effort into it than the way she says it. She's like, literally, like,
I was adopted.
And he, I don't even think he reacts. He's just like,
You suck my dick or what?
Yeah. We're still going to New Orleans, right? He's a real jerk. Yeah, no one reacts to that. But the road trip commences anyway. And they're going to go down to Texas before hitting up New Orleans is their plan. I don't know where they're from. Must be California or something.
Yeah, because...
But then her parents are from Texas. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Her parents
are from that house. Town.
Yeah. They must have moved.
How far are those two idiots going to move? Where are those two hillbillies going to move to? Silicon Valley? Yeah. Hopes for a Rodeo better
drive.
What? What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Oh my God. This movie is terrible. Terrible. I mean, I guess they could. No. Because they always reference Texas like they're not in Texas. Yikes.
Well, they get a new member to their party as soon as they start driving because they run in literally back their car.
Well, we get two new members. We get the boyfriend, the boyfriend's friend.
Trey Songz's
friend.
Friend. Okay, yeah.
This white guy with terrible... I can't make fun of guys' looks anymore because Lorena calls me out on Twitter every time, or fan of the show, Lorena. So I can't do that anymore. But this man...
Kenny.
Looks like an idiot. Looks like a total idiot that I'd love to punch in the face. And beyond dressed whatever. I won't even get into the time thing because you could just beat it up in every scene, right?
Yes.
Like, this guy is dressed so...
2010.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, he's dressed out of... He's like the most period piece, but it's like 2003. Idiot. But yeah, they end up stopping at a gas station. The road trip's commenced. And they run over a guy going like 2 miles an hour. And the guy like flies into the street. Like, he's just been run over by a fucking Mack truck.
Yeah. Also, they have no problem picking up this hitchhiker, and he's like their best friend.
Dude, as soon as they let him into the car, it's like the happiest family of all time.
Yeah, even when they like get to the house, which I'm obviously skipping ahead, this guy's like, yeah, you guys go on, I'll just hang out here. And like,
dude, I have so many problems with that hitchhiker. Scene. I have so many problems with that scene. And then we're treated to a montage of them just driving to the song, he'll fuck you up, he'll fuck you up. Do you hear that?
Yes.
And it was about God. Did you
know? I did not know that.
Dude, if you listen to it, like, the third line is, God will fuck you up.
Yeah. He'll fuck you up. Do you know who sings it?
No, but it's incredible.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. Some idiot. We see the dead armadillo on the side. And they're just doing so much on-the-nose shit in this. It's unbelievable. Like, the winks to the original. Like, you're a sequel. You don't need to wink at the original. It's not like an homage. Like... If anything, a remake should do that, right? Like, a remake should include those things to make you feel at home. But not the fucking sequel. We know of the source material. Ooh, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. They pull up to the house, the estate of Graham, and they meet their lawyer, who is...
Professor Farnsworth.
Professor Farnsworth.
He's not a professor. His first name is Farnsworth.
Yeah, he's Norm from Cheers? No. No. Is this, and it's not Ham from Toy Story.
No.
It's that other guy that looks like those two.
Wait, what?
He looks like those two
guys. Oh, but he's not them. Yeah.
And he tells them the code is, they took the code to the gate is 0819, which even I knew at that moment. I already knew. I didn't need any explanation. I was like, okay, what date is that? I was trying to figure it out. I knew it had to be like the day or whatever. The lawyer also makes sure to tell her she inherited the house from Gran. But Granny's trust does not allow her to sell it. She can either keep it or I don't even know what she can do with it.
Look at it.
Yeah. Leave it there to rot?
I don't know.
Which then makes no sense to the rest of the story, but we'll get there later.
Yeah.
Because Grandma took a real gamble on just leaving somebody locked in the basement. Fucking insane. Well, the kids go inside and they just... They're losing their mind over this, like, fucking mansion in the middle of nowhere. Like, I'd be like, if I walked into this house, they walk through the house and it is beautiful inside. You know, they're looking and it's loaded up with all this beautiful silverware, pool tables. It's a mansion. It's a true mansion.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is amazing. And the girl is like overcome with emotion about having this house. All I could think about is like, the first thing I'd be like is like, well, the resale value is going to be shit. No one wants to live here. What the fuck am I going to do with this dump? It's enormous. I can't take care of this fucking place. Like, I'd be, like, so mad. I'd be, like, thinking of all the issues. And this girl's just like, this is home.
Home.
What?
Just found out you're adopted.
You don't even know this person. She takes a walk out to her the graveyard. And she takes a walk to the back. There's a full graveyard in the back with all the Sawyers and Carsons buried out there. The Carsons are somehow related to the Sawyers. Never explained. And she goes to her grandma's grave and just goes, thank you. Thank you for this fucking burden.
Thanking someone never met before.
Yeah. Yeah, and we see that all the graves have the date 0819. Go figure. By the way, I never knew this, the Heather's name, the main character's name. So I called her Meat Slicer Girl.
Meat Slicer Girl?
Which just took so much longer to write in my notes. Like, I spelled it out every time. Because she was meat slicing in her first scene. So I wrote Meat Slicer Girl throughout my notes. So long. No wonder I had to pause the movie like 30 times. I'll let you know when I finally caught her name. So the gang, like you were saying, they decide they need to like go buy like supplies to have a party at a house that they've never been in, and a town they've never been in, whatever. And the hitchhiker, like you said, is like, oh, I'll just stick around. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. It's a fucking hitchhiker.
Dude, you do not know this guy at all. At all. And they leave him in the house. And literally, as soon as
bring the hitchhiker to your place is a terrible idea.
That was insane. Drive him to his spot and then go.
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, as soon as they leave, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm a good guy. And then immediately just starts doing like the Grinch that stole Christmas. He just has a big sack and he's just shoving the ice cube trays in, the fucking light bulbs. He's literally like, he's taking all the silver.
That's a good analogy.
He's taking all the silverware in
the roast beast
in his fucking bag. He's thrown everything in the bag. And I'm like, what is this guy going to do with this fucking bag? He's not going to be able to go anywhere. He's in the middle of nowhere. Where is he going to go with this set? Not to mention, you pick up a hitchhiker and in his bag, he's like carrying a bag and he's like, oh, you give me a ride? Yeah, sure. Come on in. And as he's walking to your car, it's like, clunk, 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 clunk. You'd be like, nah, actually, you know what? On second thought, I don't think it's a good idea. Whatever you got in there, I don't want to know.
Right.
Like, what the fuck? But he literally loads everything in the house in there. He destroys the house and he's obsessed. She got this giant set of keys and there's one giant key and he's obsessed with it. And he's going, where's your mama? Where's your mama? Which, don't even know what that means. I guess he means, where's the door that you go to?
Or I think he's looking for like treasure or something.
But like, he wouldn't even know. Whatever. I've got no wish. We also, during this segment, we're cutting back and forth to the kids shopping, and we find out that the boyfriend's been fucking Heather's best friend.
Yes.
So, there goes those characters. Like, now they're instantly unlikable. You're ready for him to die.
Yep.
Neat. Back to the hitchhiker. He finds a secret room. He finds a giant sealed door. Right? Well, first there's the secret door in the kitchen that leads to another kitchen. Then there is another secret door that the key unlocks, which goes to a cellar, which leads to another secret door that he cannot open. Real fucking convenient. All I could think about was Castle Freak. Because there's like a plate of food outside of the door.
Who's feeding him?
Well, it was Grandma.
Oh.
But I mean, the guy hasn't eaten since.
Right, that's what I'm asking. Yeah.
Yeah, and also this is the big gamble I was talking about with Grandma. Like she gave this house to her, and later we read the letter that comes with the house, and she's like, if you don't want it, that's fine. It's not fine. There's a human locked in the basement. What are you talking about? And she's like, you can take care of Leatherface. And spoiler alert. But like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a real gamble. Like,
it's a huge gamble.
Dude's locked in the basement, and you're hoping somebody comes to a strange house. They do not know you, and is going to be like, yeah, I'll take over the guy in the basement. I'd love to.
Well, spoiler alert, it fucking pays off.
It does. It works out perfectly. Everyone is happy. Everyone's so fucking happy at the end. this guy can't get the door open, and he's like, oh, fuck this place. And then he turns around in Leatherface. Did you jump at any of the scenes in this?
I did not, but I did like some of the kills.
I jumped at both the first two kills. Like, I jumped pretty hard, and I was like, well, that's solid. I mean, they're just jump scares, but like, I did like it. It was nice. And this is the same. The hitchhiker's like bending over and fucking Leatherface comes out of, I mean, not nowhere, but just so fast. And it's just like with a fucking hammer, just boom, right on the head. Yep. And then just
bashes his face in.
Bashes his face in. And you see it pretty well.
Yeah.
It's not a hidden head gross. Bashing. It was yes. gross. it was very good, though.
I jumped more at Texas Chainsaw 2 when Leatherface comes out at the...
I still don't understand that.
Dude, the fucking... The radio DJ. You have a problem with that, but not jumping at Texas Chainsaw 3D?
Well, because it was just... I mean, this was just jump scares.
Well, so was that.
Was it? I don't even remember.
Yeah, he pops out of the room.
Maybe. I don't know. I think I was just too distracted by fucking... What's his name?
Chop Top. Well, he hasn't appeared yet.
Oh, never mind.
Then it goes downhill.
Oh, Leatherface, you big idiot.
That's solid.
I hate that. I hate Chop Top so much. It's so frustrating.
Lick my plate, dog dick.
Oh, Leatherface. His fucking wig is Sonny Bono wig. Oh, man. Meanwhile, back at the kids shopping, they meet the police, local policeman, who's a little cutie.
Yeah.
And you think maybe there's a romantic thing there. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. And we also meet the mayor of the town.
Yes.
Who is most clearly involved in the original murder. Like, you see him and you're just like, oh, yeah. By the way, we got to talk about this. So, they use the same actors in the opening flashback as they did for the present day. We'll find it more the original characters. How hard did you laugh when they showed the clips from the flashback again and the wigs were so obvious? Yes. I was laughing so hard. The mayor is an old guy and you don't really pick up on it, I think, in the flashback at the beginning because you're just kind of right. caught up in it. Yeah. It's a little bit of a whirlwind. But they show flashes again later. And this dude is just wearing the stupidest, ugliest wig under a cowboy hat with the oldest face. Like, yeah. It's so ridiculous. He's got, like, long hair. He's, like, a long-haired redneck. It's just ridiculous. But they meet the cop, and the mayor's saying, oh, I'll buy your house from you. You give me the number. And she's like, no. I would be like, whatever you want to offer.
Take it take now.
Pay my bills. They come back, and the house is looted. And Heather's upset that they should have never picked him up to begin with.
Or left him alone.
That's solid. You probably shouldn't have. But how about leaving him alone in your fucking house? What are you talking about? Picked him up. That's honestly the least of it at this point, you fucking idiot. Like, God, man. It's unbearable, this movie. The driver of the car, the weirdo that we talked about. I won't call him ugly. Cool. he goes down to the basement. And he starts seeing something's up down there, and he sees the guy's bag. Which, by the way, just run! Like the guy just tried to rob you. Even if he is down there, he's probably waiting to kill you. He's a hitchhiker. Remember, yes. You don't know that man. He's like, oh my god, his bag! Let me do some forensic work. And he gets fucked up by Leatherface.
Yep.
He tries to run up the stairs and Leatherface uses like a meat hook, like a giant meat hook in his back. And I jumped again.
Again, another good kill.
Awesome kill. And you're kind of hoping.
I was not.
I mean, you're just hoping. Like, I'm not saying I was planning on it to happen.
I know what you're saying.
But like, you're like, maybe some it'll just turn things into like a slaughter. A
slaughter fest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that just.
But also, I felt like I knew better the entire time too.
Wait, remember when Leatherface goes to the festival fair?
Of course I do.
I know. With his chainsaw. I know we're about to talk about it, but I can't even help it. Chainsawing the fence, and everyone's just walking by.
Dude, the next 7 minutes. Oh my god,
is that coming up right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this guy gets the meat hook,
yep.
And then.
You're right.
Then we go to the barn and the girl tricks Trey Songz into having sex.
It's so fucked up. It's so fucked up.
So she has a bucket that's upside down and there's like something under there. She's like, it's so fucked up. He's like, what is it? And you're like, oh God, it's probably like a hand or something.
Yeah.
No, it's a, what was it?
It was a bottle of liquor and two shot glasses. And she goes, I told you it's fucked up. Well, he turns around and now she's naked.
Yes.
She's just in her underwear. She just goes, I told you it was fucked up. What does that even mean?
Nothing.
I'm so mad at that. That was the worst wordplay of all time. Like, you could have come...
Whatever.
Well, Heather's snooping around and finds Grandma's body up upstairs.
Upstairs. Just decaying. Just been
relocated.
Decomposing.
Yeah, that was stupid. For a variety of reasons. So then she goes downstairs, obviously in a frenzy because she just saw her dead grandmother. And the shittiest Leatherface ever is standing in the kitchen, snipping.
All right. When I first saw this, I thought he was cutting his own fingers off, and I would have loved this movie so much better because he's just standing there snipping. I thought he was cutting his own finger off.
Joe sent me that, and I was so excited. I was waiting to watch it because me and my wife are watching some TV, and Joe texted me that he was snipping his own fingers off with a small pair of scissors, which the scissors are insanely small, regardless of the hand he's cutting. And he's using these like little scissors, and, I was like, I almost was like, go to bed. I need to put this movie on right now. I need to see it. That's just so funny to think Leatherface just standing, just cutting off his fingers as scissors.
I would have liked this so much better.
It would have been infinitely better.
Didn't just it look like he was?
Yeah.
Give me some credit, right?
Yeah, no.
Because I texted you immediately after.
He's just holding the hand over a bowl.
It's a different hand.
We don't know whose hand it is.
Why he's doing that.
Why he's doing that. He's just holding the hand over a bowl, snipping the fingers off so slowly. Oh my god. And of course she freaks out.
Honestly, this is my favorite sequence of events. Everything that happens right now is insane. So he's cutting off fingers. He like chloroforms her or something?
I mean, I don't even know what happens because, yeah. Well, no, I think he just hits her.
Okay.
I think he just strikes her with something.
Yeah. Wait, now I'm getting confused with my notes.
I know.
Did she fall down and hit her head on like the table or something?
Oh.
It doesn't matter. She gets knocked out.
She falls down the outside stairs and he grabs her.
Okay.
I think. And then they're back inside and she's watching him literally rip off the scene from the first movie and meet Hook, the driver, the tool.
Yes.
And he just literally, it's the same scene.
Yes.
So that was real exciting. Neat. But they do add something to that, which is cuts him in half with a fucking chainsaw.
Yes, again.
Incredible.
Awesome.
Fucking awesome. And no, I didn't see any CGI. They do use CGI later, but I didn't see any CGI in these scenes, which is great. Even if I can't tell, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I just don't want to know it's CGI. And he literally just cuts him
in half.
Yeah. And the girl wakes up and she splits. And Leatherface is a terrible criminal. Terrible murderer. Because she's out of there and she hides in Granny's exhumed grave, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the boyfriend and Nikki are
getting
still fucking during all this. But they run out because they finally hear a chainsaw that's been running for 35 minutes. And they run out and they immediately run back in because Leatherface chases them back into the barn like a fucking cartoon. They chase them. They lock the door. And the girl pulls a shotgun. Literally must have been hidden in her ass because she just has a shotgun all of a sudden.
Wasn't there.
No.
It was not there.
No.
Also, she was naked.
Yes. And she just goes, "Welcome to Texas, motherfucker."
Also, she's not from Texas. No.
And he probably is. This is his house. It was so... What possesses them to make this movie? It's so crazy. It's so fucking crazy. And they shoot them, or so we think. Meanwhile, they see lights and they're like, back up, back up, back up. A van crashes into the barn. And it's Heather. And she's like, get in the van. And at this point, you're basically like, oh, the movie should be over at this point. They've just figured they have a car. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, but...
Old Trey songs.
Driving away, the car stalls out at the gate. Leatherface,
because he crashes into the gate. Dude, yeah. They're driving. They're so far away. First of all, Leatherface would never catch them. But second, they're driving this van, and Heather's like, "Stop the gate! Stop the gate! Stop the gate! Stop! No, you can't break through the gate. I have to put in the code." He just crashes into the gate. The car breaks down.
It stalled out. Leatherface is gaining on him. The car's dead. It finally starts, you know, right at the last minute. Mm-hmm. Leatherface is right there. He sticks the chainsaw into the car. So then they go The van goes out past the gate. Leatherface comes out. Oh, it stalls again as soon as it gets out.
It just keeps stalling.
He gets it not stalled. He's driving away, and Leatherface just slashes the tire, and the van drives at least 20 feet away.
Oh, dude. Just flips over 20 feet. It's like 50 feet. This was so funny. I'm so glad you found it as funny as I did, because it's so stupid.
Dude, this is a flat tire. Dude,
and honestly, when that scene happens, when Leatherface cuts it and they drive away, because they drive away for so long, I was like, oh yeah, you can. I was like thinking about driving on a rim, and I was like, oh yeah, you only don't drive on a rim when you like want to keep your car in pristine condition. When you're being chased by a murderer, you can ride that fucker.
You have three for good as long tires. As you want.
Yeah. You're good. And then literally as I'm thinking that in my head, the car just flips for no reason.
It's such a dramatic flip.
Dude, it's the most violent flip.
I laughed so hard.
Time. And like, people are dead. They're not even going. They haven't even picked up speed yet.
Yeah, because I think that's why it is funny, because they're going so slow, but it accelerates right at the moment it flips.
It's the most bizarre thing. It just flips. Oh my god. Yeah, Trey Songz is dead from that brutal flip. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
Oh my god. And somehow she gets out. Everyone's dead though. The scene, they kill everyone, right?
Yeah, well, how does the friend die?
He kind of chops her up, girl, but then she dies fully later.
Oh, yeah.
He kind of like cuts her belly.
Yeah.
But the Heather gets out. She's the only one now. And she runs to the fair. Dude, this movie's so stupid.
Leatherface is chasing after her.
Yeah.
This is a very crowded fair.
So, dude, there's a million people. It's the smallest town ever. Smallest town ever with 8 million people at a fair. And, she hops the fence, and I was like, oh, that was weird. Like, that's perfectly set up for the whole, like, at the fence screaming for help. No one can hear you over the carnival. Leatherface grabs you.
Agreed.
She gets over the fence, and then Leatherface just starts carving up the fence with his chainsaw, making so much noise and sparks, and no one is looking. No one is paying attention. And I was like, are they going to really ignore Leatherface?
When he gets in here, doesn't he, like, just rev his engine in someone's face?
Dude, there's somebody dressed up as the Saw Pig.
Yeah.
With a fake chainsaw, like, chasing kids around, and Leatherface just runs up to him and just shakes shakes his chainsaw in his face, and that pig is like, ah, and runs away. It was so fucking weird. And the fairgoers are not nearly as freaked out as they should. Well, first of all, I was like, these guys better be freaked out. And then I was surprised to see that they actually reacted. But it was kind of like, like, it was really half-assed. And the girl, Heather, she's like, oh, I've got an idea. Instead of, like, getting help or just hiding in the crowd, because Leatherface has the brain of an 8-year-old, so should be pretty easy to get away from him. She grabs, uses two hands to grab onto the back of a Ferris wheel as it's going up and holds. Do you know how much strength that would take to hold onto a Ferris wheel? And do you know how slow Ferris wheels are? How many stops?
While she's coming down, Leatherface would just have a day.
Dude, yeah, just cut. You can literally slice her like meat coming down, inch by inch, just cut her into pieces. It would have taken her a half hour to get around the fucking Ferris wheel.
Oh,
great upper body strength, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Probably stronger than
this
me.
This movie is funny.
It is. It really is. This is one of those ones I like more as I talk about
I don't like it at all.
But only because it's the worst.
Stupid.
Yeah. Oh, also we get our first. The whole time I was like, why was this in 3D? Because literally nothing has happened.
He throws the fucking chainsaw.
The cop goes, freeze. And Leatherface throws his chainsaw like 30 feet. And by the way, this chainsaw is fucking enormous.
It's huge. And it goes huge. End over end.
And he literally throws it 30 feet, like clear in the air, end over end.
Yes.
I think that's physically impossible to do. I don't think there's a human being that can do that. But he does it. And they don't catch Leatherface somehow. He throws his murder weapon.
Doesn't hit the guy.
Misses the police officer.
Who has a gun.
And there's a million people there. And he has a gun. And they don't catch Leatherface.
And Leatherface is huge and fat.
And slow.
And slow.
Although he's got the endurance of not of a man who's been locked in a basement for his entire life.
He's been doing Pilates.
Oh, man. This is so fucking stupid, though. So the sheriff, the mayor, we see them in the police office, you know, revealing what we all know, that they were there 42 years ago, yeah, or whatever, it was 17 years ago. They're asking the girl these questions, like, and the sheriff's like, like, clearly written on his face, like, oh my God, I know who you're talking about, but he's wearing a mask, or he's wearing a face. You mean a mask? No, a human face.
Yeah.
She's so calm saying that. Can you imagine if you saw someone wearing a human face? And first of all, how would she?
She's also very calm when she's like, yeah, my friends are dead.
The entire movie, she's like that.
That's exactly all my the range of dead. Motion. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and the mayor reveals what everyone knows, that they were there 17 years ago and whatever.
Whatever.
I can't believe we just did that at the same time. Meanwhile, a cop is at the Sawyer house investigating. And again, the mayor is obviously the baddie from the first flashback. So him and the sheriff are still butting heads and basically in the same position they were.
This mayor loves stepping in the police work.
Dude,
and overriding murder.
So much.
And that's never happened.
And this cop is out at the house and he's like, I think I'm going to go investigate. And the sheriff's like, do not go in there. And then the cop just grabs the phone and is like, you better go in there.
The mayor says that, yeah.
And the mayor, the mayor. And then the sheriff takes the phone. This happens for like a couple minutes. They just keep taking the phone
not.
From the judge. You better not do that. And he's like, oh, yes, you do. You do that. You do what I say. I'm the mayor. And it's like, well, I'm the sheriff and you don't do that. This fucking idiot. By the way, guys, the mayor doesn't have guns. Like, the cops do. I would listen to my boss that had a gun.
Yeah.
Not my boss that just dicks around and pisses people off all the time. But meanwhile, the cop just goes, sorry about that, sheriff, but chainsaws don't make you bulletproof. Wouldn't you be like, if you're the sheriff, wouldn't you be like, listen, he's murdered everybody he's ever encountered, so don't go in. Like, wouldn't you just give him some type of heads up? Say he's armed and dangerous.
Right. He has guns.
Meanwhile, our gal Heather's in the other room reading through the case.
The movie's almost over.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I agreed. But nothing's happened.
No, nothing has happened. She's reading through case files though, and she finds pictures of them. And they go in to get her because they're like, "Let's." The mayor is like clearly corrupt in some way. He just wants he's not even corrupt. He just wants to kill everybody.
He's just a jerk.
He just wants to murder everyone. So they go to get her because she's a Sawyer and all Sawyers are bad. So they go to get her. And he might have been right because just scribbled on their pictures, murderers. She knows nothing about what happened.
And she's so offended like that they did this to her family.
And her only evidence actually is that the newspaper calls them local heroes. It's not even like the paper like outed them and was like, murderers.
Right.
Under the guise of rebel law. It was like, local heroes. Newspaper printed. And she's like, oh, these guys are murderers. Well, I would not say that if the paper was like,
local heroes saved everybody.
And this is also when
I'm lucky to be alive.
She figures out who her mom is, which should mean nothing to her because she doesn't know her. Just a name on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Yep. This movie sucks.
She runs away from the police station and she's picked up by Scott Eastwood.
Wait. How about the FaceTiming? The mayor FaceTimes the cop that's going into Leatherface's house.
Also, this takes place in 17 years after.
Which is 81. No. 74. Oh, no. 1991, yeah. FaceTiming. Live streaming video. If you show that somebody in 1991, they'd kill themselves. They'd call you a witch. We'd revert back to fucking ancient times. Burn you at the stake.
It's so insane that nobody thought this out. Like, even, like, if...
I think they did it after the fact. I think they added the year later. I think they forgot.
But the entire story is that she's the girl that was rescued.
Yeah, I know. It's a shame. This is a disaster. This is a fucking disaster. But yeah, they're just the cop puts the cop puts this guy on. By the way, I was also thinking when the girl's reading the newspaper, it's like zooming into the print so big. It's just showing for like 3 minutes. It's showing us just super zoomed in clips of like four words on a newspaper. And all I could think about was like, imagine seeing this in 3D. Text print on the screen in 3D. This must be incredible. But they're FaceTiming the police officer that's at Leatherface's house. The most interesting part of this is we see Leatherface's bed, which just fascinates me for some reason.
That he sleeps?
Yeah.
Not standing
he's just
up.
A fucking, yeah, he's just a, I thought he was like a bovine. Like, he just stood up and went to sleep.
Leatherface tipping?
Dude, he'd be perfect for it. Or OG Leatherface. He opens up an ice chest, and Nikki's in there, who shoots up like a zombie.
Yep, of course.
And gets shot in the head.
Again, very cliche.
Yeah. Super. That happens in
every movie ever.
And the mayor wants to torch the house again. He loses the feed and then wants to torch the house again. He's like, let's burn it down.
Again, we don't know his motive.
No. He just hates Leatherface. He's just an asshole. We end up seeing that cop get murdered with a hatchet, which is, it was all right.
I guess.
Heather figures out her mom, which we already talked about. She writes murderers on the paper. Oh, Leatherface putting on a new mask. He takes the cop's face. We see him take the cop's face that was there, and he makes a new mask. Only cool thing about this, I mean, the masks are terrible.
Yep.
They're awful. But the only cool part about this is we see him sewing it onto his own face by putting the needle through his cheek,
yep,
like going inside of his mouth, which I thought was cool. I was like,
yeah, well, it was cool.
That's the one thing they decided to explain why his mask doesn't fall off. Which is, I mean, it's appreciated.
Pretty well thought out.
It's appreciated, but that's the only thing they were like, you know, we need to clear this up for the fans. They'll never believe this story with his mask staying on. Guy's running around all over town. There's no way that mask stays on. So stupid. And by the way, the mayor, the feed to the police officer gets cut off. The mayor assumes he's dead. That's why he wants to torch the house. But then proceeds to call that cop on his radio.
Yeah,
later. And he's like, meet us at the old steel mill. You know, the one right behind Leatherface's house. And Leatherface is listening.
Also, wait, how does Leatherface find out that she's his cousin? They say that on the radio?
No. No. I'll tell you. It's the birthmark.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The classic old birthmark. But yeah, so Heather's on the loose. She gets out of the jail. She meets her lawyer. Her lawyer is our mangler expert for this movie. And just, she's like, how could you not tell me? And he's like, all right, here's the deal. And then tells her everything. And she's like, well, didn't you read the letter? And she's like, no. And he's like, well, here's what it said. You should have read that letter, though. And so, but Leatherface's name is Jedediah Sawyer. It's her cousin. He has the emotions of an 8-year-old, you know, or a serial killer, whatever. I don't think all 8-year-olds hunt down humans.
With deadly weapons.
And he's after her because the last time a girl got away, he lost everything.
Okay.
So why was he after the girl the first one?
It's just a vicious cycle.
It's like chicken or the egg. So she runs out and... the mayor comes in. He's about to get her. She escapes out the back door. The lawyer kind of helps her out, helps her get away. Then the good cop, the younger cop, picks her up, puts her in the back. Except he doesn't stop the car because she tells him to go back to the bar. And he does not stop that car. No. And big swerve here. The mayor is his dad.
Yes, because he said... Again, so he's talking. He's like, yeah, I'll be right there, dad.
Yes, you got it, dad. And the girl goes, that's your fucking dad? Yeah, that's what I just said.
Very loudly.
I made sure you could hear that on purpose. I was trying to reveal that to you. Because we knew this was going to happen. Like, what the fuck? This movie sucks dick. Oh, God. Leatherface, this is when meanwhile, the mayor gets on the horn to the cop that he knows is dead. And he's like, meet us at the slaughterhouse. And you know where it is, the one over there. And Leatherface is like, like a fucking dog. And then he gets the biggest chainsaw of all time. Yeah. It's like a lumber. Like, would you even call it? I don't even know. It's like, the blade's like.
It's huge.
3 feet.
Yeah.
It's enormous. And then, so the lawyer goes to talk to the sheriff. And tell him, you know, they took the girl and they're going to the slaughterhouse. Or that he doesn't know where they're going. He's like, they just took her. So the mayor's looking at the GPS and is like, where are they? And he just goes, I know where they are. Okay. So go. What are you talking about? Oh, but they know where they are. And this is the end of the movie, man.
Thank God.
This is the end. Heather is a
huge meat grinder.
There's a giant meat grinder. They're in a slaughterhouse.
Have you ever seen that video?
Yeah.
Where they're just dumping carcasses into the meat grinder?
Fucking weird.
It's real weird.
Fucking gross. Like, we developed that as humans. Yeah. Machine that
needs something.
Grinds up bones.
Can't just bury it. We need it to be obliterated.
Yeah, it's really weird. We also find out that there's like a little bit of a feud with the Sawyers and the Hartmans, who's the mayor and the kid.
Yeah, but not enough to
not
care.
Not enough
about.
To care. Like, yeah. And the movie's about to fucking end.
Yep.
We kind of get a glimpse into Heather being a little bit crazy because she like stabs the knife through the window of the cop car.
Yep.
But it's the smallest knife ever, and you should not be afraid. They have her tied up, though, in the slaughterhouse. Her boobs are just like hanging out. Like, for some reason, her shirt's now open, but you don't see her boobs, but they're covered. I just thought it was really weird.
It was.
And it was all for the purpose of showing the birthmark in about 3 minutes. But you're just watching this. You're like, this is bizarre. Like, button her up. You're just here to kill her, I hope.
Dude, unbuttoning her shirt just to show her birth. Like, you couldn't find any other way.
Could have been on her fucking neck. Well, then Leatherface would have seen it. Oh, I hate this movie. I can't believe I'm arguing for it. So she's tied up. Leatherface comes from behind. He's about to cut her up when, bam, 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 birthmark. And Leatherface is like, again, like, and like rips off her mask and cuts down her ropes that she's tied up to.
Also, he's trying to kill her.
Yeah.
Why? He changes his mind so quickly, and she's so accepting of it so quickly. It's so dumb.
They did not build up like her love for the Sawyers at all. No, which just, again, would have been a cool concept, right?
Like, she just made a choice.
It would be cool to see somebody that's a Sawyer that doesn't know it, but it's in their blood, come back and slowly evolve into like a typical Sawyer.
Yes.
And that's cool, but that doesn't happen here.
No.
She's just like, I love you, Grandma, like from beginning one. And you're like, wait, what? Like, why would you care about her? And then doesn't really care for the rest of the movie because this guy's trying to kill her. And then at the end is like, sup, fam?
That's honestly not too far off from what she says.
No, which I can't wait to talk about.
Yeah, can we just get there?
Yeah. So the mayor and this fucking hillbilly that's just hanging around with him just start beating the shit. I have no idea where he came from. And they just start beating the shit out of Leatherface and like really beating the shit out of him. They tie a chain around his neck. They're going to pull him into that giant grinder. And Heather throws Heather throws a chainsaw to Leatherface. First of all, again, another fucking shot put arm. She throws a chainsaw 300 yards.
Runs in the family.
And
it's a Sawyer trait.
And it was such like a, it was like Luke Skywalker with a lightsaber. Yeah. Like she's like, and she yells, wait, oh my God, of course.
Oh, I have it.
What is it? Do your thing, cuz. Oh, how bad was that? That was painful.
Up there with one of the worst.
That was painful.
Do your thing, cuz.
Do your thing, cuz. And throws it like Luke Skywalker. It basically lands in his hand.
This guy was just trying to kill her.
Yeah.
Do your thing, cuz. Fuck you.
Yep. And Leatherface gets out of the chains. And then he proceeds to have a fight with the mayor who has a crowbar. Crowbar chainsaw fight. And Leatherface is like...
Classic wrench off.
And Leatherface is like bobbing and weaving from the crowbar. It's like, dude, you literally cut him in half from where you're standing. Just fucking chop his head off. What are we doing? But instead, the cop shows up. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. The cop shows up. Heather's pleading with the cop, don't shoot Leatherface, don't shoot Leatherface. Leatherface is backing up
Leatherface
the mayor.
Leatherface has killed so many people.
So many
people. Shoot Leatherface.
Yeah, shoot everybody.
Yeah.
And Leatherface is basically slowly backing the mayor up into the grinder. He's on all fours, like basically going backwards into the grinder. And the cop puts his gun away. And then Leatherface cuts off the hands of the mayor, and he falls into the grinder. And the sheriff goes, can't get around the good work, the good book, Bert, which is a callback to what Bert had said to him in the opening scenes.
Yes.
And don't care. And then I was, I swear on my son's life, as I was watching this, in my head, I went, now clean this shit up. And that is exactly what he says. And it is so fucking unbelievably stupid. I was like, because in my head, I'm saying it as a joke because it's a fucking mess. There's four dead bodies. Blood's everywhere.
Yeah.
No one's cleaning it up. And in my head, I say it just to be funny. And that's what this man says and walks away. The sheriff of the town. No, clean this shit up. Yeah. Oh, man. And we get this like extended ending of Heather basically cleaning up Leatherface. He retires to his chambers. She's reading the letter from Granny saying things like, he will protect you and simply requires your care in return.
Isn't he like nodding in approval, like agreement?
Dude, yeah. It's like, that's true. I'm one loyal dude. Oh, man. And when you die, I'll bring your corpse back inside the house where it belongs, up in the attic. Yeah. He will protect you. You simply need his care in return. Just remember, you are a Sawyer, and this is home. There's some cool stuff there, but not really. And then it ends with Leatherface just standing. Well, her taking his scraps away. So I guess she's going to start feeding him, which is good news for him.
Okay, yeah.
And
he doesn't need it.
No. And then it just goes, now it's your time. And Leatherface just slams his own door shut really hard. like an emo kid.
Leatherface is emo.
Leatherface is so fucking emo.
Did you see the post-credit scene?
I did. I can't believe you did.
Why?
Because you hated this movie so bad when you were texting me like halfway through. Oh. I was like, there's no way Joe sat through the credits.
Haven't you learned from our live tweets? I stayed till the fucking last song plays.
Oh, no, I did not know that. Yes, end credit sequence.
Yeah. The adoptive parents show up.
Such a waste of film.
Yeah, this is basically all that happens. The adopted parents show up.
They go out.
Because they want to split the assets. Yeah.
Yeah. So the mom says, you remember to tell her you love her. And the dad goes, for this money, I almost do. Zing. Piece of shit. And then all of a sudden, her face just opens the door. That's it.
That's it.
So her parents are dead. More murders on their hands. Like, okay, you know what? The sheriff is letting it slide with Bert. He's not just going to let you murder
just,
the town.
Just a murder house.
Murder house. Which is what it is. Yeah. It's a fucking murder just house.
Turn his eye.
By the way, no. If you saw the house from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, there's no way you're like, some of these people are innocent. There's bones literally dangling from every room in that house.
That house needs to be demolished. Anybody that has anything to do with that needs to be put away.
And that's the end of Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, or no, Texas Chainsaw 3D. Oh, you know what though?
We got to talk about what's next on our list of movies. Well, first, let's just say thank Harley Poe for allowing us to use Gorehound off the album Pig and Holiday. To help us, rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. That's the best way to help us, or just spreading the word, tweeting about us. It really helps. Like, seriously.
And you guys do a great job.
Sensational job. We really appreciate it. Literally, every tweet I get, I'm just, like, honestly excited. It's amazing. So we really appreciate that. It does help us out. That's the best way. If you can help monetarily, we have a store.ihatehorror.com, which might still be up with t-shirts in it. It might have changed. I'll edit this out. Or... patreon.com/ihatehorror. You can pick a little movie to watch. We might have bonus content up there already. We might not. But we try and do stuff for you. We do Google Hangouts and stuff like that. That's just like a monthly donation that you can choose to turn off at any time. You don't have to always keep it running. Now, movies. Next, two movie announcements. Well, okay. Well, here's another problem. It's Halloween. It's October.
Maybe we take a break?
We're taking a break. We are. So I'm not going to divulge our Halloween plans just yet, because me and Joe still have to go over them. But I think, I don't know what it's going to be yet. We're going to do some Simpsons. We're going to do some Treehouse of Horror. We're going to do some fun stuff too. So we're going to take a break from the Patreon movies. We will return the week... The 31st is a Monday, so Tuesday is the 1st of November, which I will still be doing a Halloween episode on.
Yeah.
So that following week, it's like technically, I guess, the second week of November.
Yeah.
We'll come back to the Patreon picks, and those picks will be... Oh, I'm really excited about these.
Oh, I can't wait.
Two big OG homies here, little homies. Jackson the Go-Getter.
All right. What's he got?
Well, this is your pick, so this is on you. But and also our homie Lorena.
Okay.
Lorena House, the American one,
mm-hmm.
which would be great.
Sure.
Love that movie so much. So good. Jackson the Go-Getter. You chose this.
Wait. I already chose this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What is it?
Ginger Dead Man
2. Yes, okay.
The sequel too, Ginger Dead Man 2. Okay,
is that Passion of the Crust?
Dude, god damn it, I don't know. Sounds fun. Now I'm even more mad about it. If that's the title, I'll be so fucking pissed. I won't do the episode. I might bring Paul in to just do it. Maybe we do have Paul do Ginger Dead Man.
Okay,
except I don't want him to ruin House for me.
Just talk over.
Should we tell a story about Paul explaining the end of Gothica to us?
No.
Oh my god, it is Passion of the Crust. God damn it. So
wait, Gary Busey's not even in this one?
Couldn't afford it. House and Ginger Dead Man 2 are next two episodes starting that second week of November. But Halloween season is upon us. So get ready for that. I'll have some announcements on our website or our Twitters and stuff.
Twitter.
I wonder if we're on our network yet. We might be.
If we are, thank you.
Yeah, if we are, thank you. Really appreciate it. I'll edit this out if it's not in. It's a pleasure. I think it's been a pleasure so far. That's it, guys. Twitter, I'm on Twitter at I Hate Horror Show, and Instagram at I Hate Horror. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/IHateHorror and IHateHorror.com.
I'm at Jovi421, Instagram, Boogdish1985, Snapchat, Horror Show Joe.
That's it, guys. So, next week, welcome to Halloween, bitch.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do something good. I can't believe it. Maybe we'll do something.
Maybe we won't. Don't be ridiculous.
So get ready for a steaming pile of diarrhea we'll talk about next week. Can't believe they listened to us. All right. For Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios.